Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there's our great friend, Stephen Lassen, senior editor over at Athlon Sports, back to make his predictions for another week. Stephen, how nervous are you with this wild slate of eight SEC games?
Mike, I'm nervous, but I'm also fired up. What a great slate of games we got this weekend, right? I know you love the kind of the named weekends like Shakedown Saturday, Shake Up Saturday, whatever moniker you want to put on it. These games this weekend are going to be fantastic. And so just can't wait for Saturday, man. What a great slate.
Yeah, and I forgot, Stephen, that actually I didn't even know, but I've been saying it every show since I found out. This is the first time ever, Stephen, that we got eight conference matchups in Southeastern Conference history. So this is an epic Saturday. It's not happening again for the rest of the year. So soak it in. I keep taking this thing down, but I keep meaning to have the weekly pick'ems here. Shout out, Steven went undefeated last weekend. People mocked you, Steven. Well, hell, they mock us regardless of who we pick or whatever. But you nailed it. You were perfect. You were better than the Cousins. You were better than Shane. And you were certainly better than my ass, who was dead last week. So the Cousins are still in the lead by one. Right in second place is Steven. So you're going to want to listen to what he's got to say for the picks here upcoming. But before we get into all that, Steven, as always, got to remind the folks, we're brought to you by MyBookie. Go check them out. Listen to Steven. Fade my picks. Go to mybookie.ag, the website. Put in that promo code SEC. And they right now, if you do that, if you're a first timer over at MyBookie and you put in that promo code SEC, they're willing to give you a buyback bonus of up to $500. So what does that mean? That means if you go over there, let's say you put $200 in your account and you listen to one of my picks and you get it wrong, which you will, MyBookie will give you that $200 right back so you can stay in the game and stay playing. But if you listen to Steven, you'll win $200 and you won't have to use the buyback because you'll get it right. So Steven, you went undefeated last week. All right. What are the odds you go undefeated this week?
Probably pretty slim, right? Like the law of averages suggests that, like, no. You don't want to count like all the victories and do the victory lap, and next week you kind of bottom out. So, but
I'm looking for some confidence here, Steven, the opposite of that.
Mike, we're motivated. That's all the confidence we need. That Mark Stoops motivation, it is like permeating every college football fiber that I have here as we get ready for already week eight. Like, where's the season going already?
You sound like Hugh Freeze with all these excuses, Steven. I'm not here for it.
I could have made a lot of excuses on Monday night. Like, I was really sick, and I mean, I'm not 100% yet, but I showed up. You know, I mean, no days off during the college football season. So no excuses here, Mike. No excuses about showing up, and no excuses if we get it wrong. We'll just have to bounce back next week and get it right. But Mike, I will say one of the things I love about this schedule, the games are kind of spaced out. We got 2 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon, 3 at night. That's still a lot of ball to be watching at one time. But it is nice that like some of the top matchups are kind of spread out, so you can kind of take those in and see what happens. Because, man, I mean, you could pretty much leave your TV on ABC all day with those top matchups coming up.
No doubt. I can't wait for it. I also can't wait, Steven, to give a shout out. You were talking about no excuses showing up. Cousin JR, he's back. He's changing his handle, but he's still coming every episode. We appreciate you, JR.
Legend, Cousin JR has done it again.
Thank you, JR. He has gifted a membership to Steven. Oh, Steven Lassen? I don't know. But Steven, welcome to
the family.
Hopefully you did welcome yourself there, Steven. I don't think you did, but they spelled his Steven different. So, but thank you, JR. Thank you for showing up and all your continued support. Without some, you know, great cousins like you, hell, this show would be off the air by now. You know what?
Absolutely, man. JR always showing up. Is the handle change during
he
this
did.
Season? Like an interim coach taking over? Hope not. I hope it's like the real JR still.
Yeah, shout out JR_gaming live. Go follow him if you're not already. He deserves a follow. I'd like to get some gaming in there, some college football. So maybe we'll get into it. And no, Emily, I did not get a haircut. Yes, I took a shower finally. So, all right.
First time this week, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a busy week. Right. And speaking of that, Steven, we're going to get to these picks here in just a second. But shout out our other great friends over at Prize Picks. Maybe you're not interested in wagering on the games themselves or the over-unders. You could go over to Prize Picks and play daily fantasy sports. So this is completely different. What they do is they put out player projections, and you select less than or more than for the rushing yards, passing yards, touchdowns, things of that nature that they have projected for individual players. The more you select and the more you get right, the more you can win over at Prize Picks. And I love it because they have the college football players. But also, Steven, let's say you do like five Prize Pick selections and you get four and you miss one, you still win money. So it's not like you got to get them all. So it's very interesting how they do it over there at Prize Picks. That promo code SEC, you play five, you get 50. You can't beat that with a stick. So, Steven, this week, who are your Prize Pick selections?
Mike, let's start with a risky one, shall we?
Always.
Let's go to Nashville. First game of the day. Let's take Garrett Nussmeier. He's at 250.5. I'm going to go more then. I know it's risky. I question just what percentage of health we're getting, but I did see some things last week that maybe say he's on the right track. Also, I love the matchup against Vanderbilt secondary. This is a secondary that has been willing to give up yards through the air. So I'm not expecting 400 passing yards here, but 250, he was just over that last week. So I think 250.5, you could take the more than side, especially with Aaron Anderson likely to come back. There's a lot of weapons in this LSU passing game that Vanderbilt's going to have to account for. So I'm taking the more than side. Am I crazy?
Yeah, I think not crazy, but you're wagering on health. Which yes. They say is not a problem. But again, yeah, I think if LSU is competitive in this football game, I think you're going to nail this one, Steven. If they're not, you know, if they can't hit that mark, I think LSU's in real trouble. And I anticipate a very good game. So, yeah, I like that selection. I think you nailed it.
Yeah, LSU Vanderbilt's probably one of the toughest predictions, I think, to figure out this weekend. I don't know. I'd be curious to see where you and Shane go this week. I'm going to also stay in the quarterback section of Prize Picks this week, Mike. Let's just take the combo here. Let's take the less than side on Lenore Sellers, 189.5, and let's also take John Mateer, 235.5. Let's just take the less than side on both these quarterbacks. I mean, what, first one to 17 is probably going to win this game, right?
maybe 14.
Right. A couple special teams touchdowns, maybe a defensive touchdown. I don't see a lot of points in this game. Do you, Mike?
I do not. And I think this is the first one we've done all year that features a conference game where all the footballs are in favor of one. This kind of blew my mind when I put this together this morning. So it's not the end all be all. I mean, people, it's funny, Steven, you know, I do these graphics every week, right? And it's like, well, last week, it said Vanderbilt should beat Bama. I mean, that's not necessarily what it's saying, but, hell, you know, they point to the one that is, like, inaccurate, the seven or eight that are accurate, to who the hell cares, you know what I mean? So, but that's a tangent for a different day. But, yeah, I mean, Mateer banged up, Sellers, I mean, they can't protect him to save their life going up against his nasty defensive front. I think the less than for Sellers, the less than for Mateer. And now Oklahoma's got a receiver off the team. Again, I don't think that's going to be the end-all, be-all. But the only thing I'd be a little wary of those selections is if John Mateer, now he's got a week of practice, you know, maybe a little bit healthier, maybe he can get it rolling. But that's a tough task on the road. First time they're going on the road in the Southeastern Conference. Temple don't count as a road game. They had more fans at Temple than Temple did. So, yeah, I like these ones too.
I think this is a play on simply this game being low scoring. And I think Mateer is going to benefit from just having a week of like practice. Like, you know, that's one of the big things coming out of the Texas game is timing and rhythm and having another week. But man, this one's got like 17, 13, 17, 10, 20 to 17 written all over it. So I like the less than side for both those quarterbacks. I'm going to also stay on the less than side, Mike. Trinidad Chambliss is at 289.5, and this is passing plus rushing. So basically total offense. I'm going to take the less than side of this. Georgia at home, defense. You know, I know this is a young defense. Maybe they don't get the pass rush they used to. I do think maybe the secondary is playing a little bit better. Coming off of the Washington State game, I think it's fair to kind of read a little bit into what we saw, but also understand that Ole Miss probably spent a lot of time preparing for Georgia. So I don't want to overreact too much. This is really a play of Georgia's defense at home and maybe not necessarily Chambliss getting to 350, 400 total yards like we've seen each week. So I'm going to take the less than side of Trinidad Chambliss on total offense here.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a huge prove it test. He passed the first one against LSU, but can he keep it going? Man, I don't want to get ahead of myself, Stephen, but if he struggles, which I'm not saying he will, because Georgia's defense, not the defense of old. Of course, they were against Auburn in the second half. But if he struggles and we suffer our first loss, and then we're looking ahead to at Oklahoma, which has obviously got a nasty defense, Kiffin's going to have a real controversy on his hands. And I'm putting the cart in front of the horse here. But, you know, why this is a very, very, very interesting game and really 2 weeks for what it can mean for the entire season for the Rebels, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, these next couple games feel like really, really critical. I mean, you look at that Ole Miss schedule, and it does feel pretty favorable, like the path to Atlanta. If you can maybe split these next two games, and then you got Mississippi State coming up later in the season, who knows what Florida's going to be in a few weeks, but that schedule's pretty favorable. It is great if you're Lane Kiffin to have like that break glass in case of emergency option in Austin Simmons. Like, you have two proven and two solid options. But kind of if you lose both of these games, you have no margin for error the rest of the way. So you still have to play a good South Carolina team. You get Florida, you get Mississippi State. So it kind of feels like not only are these the two best teams remaining on the schedule just in terms of like path, setting the course for the second half of the season, either Chambliss plays well and forgets about Washington State, or we have another quarterback controversy in the second half of the season as Austin Simmons probably steps back in.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know who else stepped back in, Stephen? Stephen Up! Shout out Stephen Up! He's back. He's feeling great because Alabama's on a damn roll, whooping everyone's ass again.
Always showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Stephen Up. Roll Tide.
Thank you, Stephen Up. He gifted to Spencer. Spencer, welcome to
the family.
Yeah. And we also had Lynn and Jacob. Lynn and Jacob just became members without even being gifted, Stephen. So shout out Lynn and Jacob. Welcome to
the family.
Yeah. All right, Stephen, are you ready to welcome these cousins to your predictions?
I got two more prize picks real quick.
Okay.
I got a special one for you. Damian Ramos, he's at 6 kicking points. He's made at least 2 field goals in every SEC game. Low scoring, field goals. Mike, Big Ten ball, LSU's going to play on Saturday. Give me Damian Ramos on more than. And I saved the best for last because I know Mike's going to like this one. Arch Manning. 1.5. Oh, I mean, the more than side against Kentucky in passing touchdowns.
Of course, Stephen. I mean, that makes all the sense in the world. But of course, we're always going to give you a hard time when you hype up his Arch. Who? What do you know? Maybe he's worth the hype now. You know what?
I'm feeling a little bit better about my preseason prediction. I don't think he's going to win the Heisman Trophy or anything like that. But he has played a lot better the last couple weeks. Now, of course, if he plays bad against Kentucky, then all of those good things start to go away as Texas kind of gets a critical time here with Georgia coming up.
Mm-hmm. Hey, one more. Man, thank you, cousins. Oh, whoa, Mary, welcome to
the family.
Thank you, Stephen. And man, Mizzou fan number 7 just gifted 10 memberships. Mizzou fan, You better pick Missouri, Stephen. I mean, I don't want to put pressure on you, but Missouri fan, thank you. He gifted Double D. What a name. I think that's Daredevil, but Double D, appreciate you. Sean, Go Native Overland, K Slay, Power T, Justin Hopkins, Alamo Aggie, The Hogfather, cool name, K Dog, and Jeff Butler. All of y'all, welcome to
the family,
courtesy of Mizzou fan number 7. We appreciate you, buddy. Thank you. You know, I know people are here for the picks, so we'll get to them right now. But I just want to take a moment here and say thank you to all the cousins for supporting the channel. You know, without you guys, we literally would not be able to do this, because I don't know if you noticed, it's not like we got a ton of sponsors and a ton of ads, and quite frankly, I don't want a ton of ads and sponsors, but thanks to you guys, we're able to continue to do this, and not just daily, but multiple times a day. So without all these giftings and the memberships and the donations and everything like that, you guys are literally keeping the lights on. So I can't thank you enough, and I can't thank you enough either, Stephen, for all the time you give us too.
Mike, well, let me echo that. I will say thank you to all the cousins who listen, who interact, and, you know, give me grief for good picks or agree with the good picks. I love it either way. Also, just want to say Mike is the hardest working man in the SEC. So anything we can do to help him subscribe, to like, share the show, let's do it. And let's continue to grow this thing, because, man, this is like the best freaking time of the year with all these games this Saturday, and not to mention what's to come, because – as I predicted in the bowl projections this week, potentially 5 or 6 SEC teams in the playoff, coaching changes coming up. It is going to be a crazy rest of the season. So like, subscribe, share the show, please.
Yes, and shout out people like Jeffrey, not a member, but love the show. You don't even have to donate or anything like that. You're always welcome here. I know not everybody's got the money, and the show will always be free as long as I'm in control of it. So thank you, Jeffrey, and those like you watching the show. And if we get enough memberships or enough donations, maybe I'll just ban Marler, because I see he is it's popular to bash him. So hey, if you support us enough, we could just ban his ass from ever coming on the show again. So I'll just throw that out there. But all right, Steven, speaking of, and I see Fire Billy Napier, I kind of want to hit on that as well, but let's do it while we talk about this game here. Mississippi State at Florida. Steven, big one here for both these teams, literally, maybe the biggest game of Billy Napier's life. 4:15 Eastern, 3:15 Central on the SEC Network. Mississippi State at Florida. Florida, a 9.5-point favorite, over under 51.5 total points. And this is huge for a number of reasons. So before we get into the preview and the breakdown and the prediction here from Steven, there's a lot of speculation. And I got a guest coming on the show tomorrow to talk about this, who just wrote about it. But, there's a lot bubbling behind the scenes, Stephen, where it certainly suggests, based on numerous reports, and again, we'll have a further analysis of this with someone that's actually covering it, but that Napier is, I mean, as good as gone, essentially, and there's mayhem behind the scenes. How much does that factor into a game week like this, Stephen, where this – you wisely said, hey, this could be the game for State. If they win it, this may very well be the one that gets them to the postseason. You know, it's a huge game for them. It's an advantage for them. Meanwhile, for Florida, if you lose it, it's a safe assumption the coach is gone by Sunday. Thoughts on all the drama around old Napier down there in Gainesville?
Yeah, it feels like a subplot to this game, but it's actually kind of something that I weighed with the prediction, because I think if you're Mississippi State, like, you sense an opportunity here, because who knows like what kind of motivation level there is for Florida. Whereas for Mississippi State, you come in here looking at this, I mean, coaches and players probably look at the schedule differently than we do, but I'm looking at that schedule going, man, it is really hard to just kind of pencil in a W here and there. It feels like Florida and Arkansas, probably their best chances, maybe Ole Miss in the Egg Bowl, to get to 5 and 6 victories. So I think if you're Mississippi State, there's a real opportunity here to go on the road and steal one, because, and I think this is a key part of the game. I think how this game plays out early could be pretty important, because I think if you're Florida, you get off to a slow start after hearing all this behind the scenes. Who knows? You know, this team rallied for Billy Napier last year, but man, it doesn't look like there's another second half comeback for Billy Napier at Florida. So I think if you're Mississippi State, there's a real opportunity. I think if you're Florida, it could go one of two ways. Either you know what's about to happen, you're not really motivated, or they do show up motivated and send Billy out a winner. Is that fair to say? Like, it feels like which team starts out better, that like the start of this game could be pretty important. Is that fair, Mike?
I think so. And that's been critical for Mississippi State in their win over Arizona State. I thought it was critical in when they hosted Tennessee to kind of, let it be known that it wasn't just a fluke in the non-conference, that they're here to stay as a team to be reckoned with. I know they didn't win the games, but even A&M, they jumped out to the lead. They shut A&M out of the vast majority of the first half till I believe 2 minutes left in the first half. So, yeah, I think you're 100% right. 2 weeks to prepare, a little bit more rested for Mississippi State. I think that is what you really want to do if you're State is you want to try to take this crowd out of it, because I thought that was huge for Texas, was they were not ready for the Swamp. And I'm not suggesting the Swamp's always good. I think I've said this many times, people mock it, but I think it holds true year after year. I think a case could be made the Swamp's the hardest place to play in the conference. And if they jump on State, I don't think they got a shot here. But I don't know how motivated I think the fans are motivated, but, it's almost like they want this to be over with. So it's a tricky spot here. You know what?
Yeah, it feels like there's just a cloud of, like, uneasiness here for Florida. And if you get off to a slow start, Mississippi State scores early, it creates some doubt. Then all that other stuff starts to creep in, motivation and everything. So I think in a game where it's important for both teams in terms of bowl eligibility, just look at the path, like whichever team, like the first quarter could be pretty telling here. I think there are a couple matchups to watch, Mike. I think the first one's going to be, you mentioned that off week, and it came at a good time for Mississippi State because they've been banged up on the offensive line. We saw Fluff Bothwell get injured against Texas A&M. The injury report could loom pretty large here for Mississippi State. The secondary for Florida has been gettable at times. Also would like to see Blake Shapen rebound. He's been under 200 passing yards in the last two SEC games. So there's room for optimism here if you're Mississippi State. Maybe the downfield passing is there, especially if you can protect. But line of scrimmage was one of the things that did Texas in at Florida a few weeks ago. So they need a healthy offensive line to, number one, get the run game going, but also protect Blake Shapen. And then, on the other side, this Mississippi State defense is clearly better, but they have kind of started to trend a little bit in the wrong direction. We saw the Tennessee game, Texas A&M gave up a lot of rushing yards to Texas A&M. So I think this defense is a lot better, but I do think it's still probably closer to the back half of the league. And you just think about some of those matchups. Like if Texas A&M ran the ball well, Jaden Baugh and this Florida offensive line should be able to get some things going too. So, Mike, I think this is a very hard game to predict because I love the timing of it for Mississippi State. I am a little bit worried about the injuries and not knowing what the status of some of those guys are for Mississippi State. Earlier in the week, I was actually going to take Florida to cover, but I think there's just too much uneasiness. There's too much doubt for me here. I think these reports may get worse later in the week. So I'm going to take Mississippi State to cover. I'm going to take Florida to win 27-20.
Okay. Hey, shout out Mizzou fan. He gave us a donation. So this is kind of related. Well, not the first part. Steven's a lot better than Roush, that guy's.
Thank you.
Which I agree with Steven better. I don't agree Roush sucks. But be that as I'm just reading the comment here. Drake recently said Kirby Moore, offensive coordinator interview, was false. That was deliberately fed to the media, fans, players as outside noise. So that's something that was said this week, Steven, and I think that's relevant to this Billy Napier stuff. But to my knowledge, I don't think this Napier stuff is false though. So maybe it did just distract Missouri a little bit during their epic showdown here against Alabama. I don't know, but did you see any of that? I'm just kind of curious your reaction if you saw Drink kind of and for anybody that missed it. I mean, not only did he say this, but he basically said journalism integrity does not exist on social media and complete BS and yada, yada, yada. I mean, it was a pretty damning statement from Drink.
Yeah, I mean, he first of all, he's right about that on social media, because anybody can put out anything they want to, which makes, I mean, it's fun. You know, we could talk about rumors, and the jokes and the memes are good. But yeah, some of the rumors, especially during coaching season, as I always say, take it with a grain of salt. There's a lot out there that could be for leverage. It could be to get a coach's name out there. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. So I try to take everything with a grain of salt when it comes to coaching rumors. You know, I didn't see the Kirby Moore thing until after the game. So it was not as widespread maybe as some of the other coaching rumors out there. I will say this on Billy Napier, Mike. It feels inevitable, doesn't it? Like, I know we went through this last year, but it does feel like we're kind of getting to the end. And even if those reports are not true that it happens this weekend, they got a bye week before Georgia. It kind of feels like it's the time when you make coaching changes. It feels like it's going to happen this time, barring some sort of like last minute reprieve, right?
Yeah, without a doubt. Yes. But, you know, to go back quickly to Drake and Kirby Moore, again, I don't know how much of a distraction that truly is, but I think the issue, if it is completely bogus, which I don't believe everything these coaches say in a press conference, and neither should any of you, I learned that as a youngin', a guy you may have heard of, Nick Saban. I will not be the coach of Miami Dolphins. He was a coach of Miami Dolphins like, you know, a week later, whatever it was. Don't believe any of these guys. I'm not saying they're all liars, but I'm saying don't believe everything you hear. But point being, Stephen, I think when you lose a game to Alabama, that was winnable. And then it's all due in large part to your offense not getting the job done. Now Drink and Kirby Moore have to answer questions about how distracted was your offensive coordinator? Was he eyeing this Arkansas job? And then if Drink is being truthful and knows the truth here and says it's complete bogus, I think that's what he's upset about, is having to answer questions for something that didn't even happen. I think that's probably where the anger comes from. I don't really know, but that would be my assumption.
I think that's a fair assumption. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to say this because I've watched the game, I think, twice now from, you know, my office. I didn't really get the sense they were distracted or that there was like, you know, the Ahmad Hardy thing was kind of weird that he wasn't as involved. But also I thought, you know, there was a nice breakdown, I think, on the Power Mizzou site about like the timing of Ahmad Hardy's rushes and also like could they have been better here and there. And I think the verdict that they came to, and kind of like I did, was, you know, they probably did okay, they probably could have done maybe a little bit better on getting Ahmad Hardy involved. So, yeah, I would agree with your premise there on Drink and the coaching rumors this week. But I suspect that that probably did not play a role in the performance of Missouri. I think they played a pretty good team in Alabama last week.
Yeah, I don't want to call a guy out, but Bo Prabula threw two picks.
Yeah,
that's why he lost the game. Not because Kirby Moore may or may not have spoke to someone at Arkansas. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that it's like the same thing with we talk about with the officiating this season. We've talked about it a lot. Is like, you know, unless a game is like 50-50 and that play happens, it's like you could directly blame that play. There's like a whole half. There's like three quarters of the game to make that up. So it's easy to point the finger at that. But like, yeah, the interceptions and drop, you know, whether it's getting more receivers involved, there's a lot that Missouri could have done that game differently that may have changed that outcome.
Mm-hmm. All right, hey,
get a stop on fourth down, by the way. You
know? That would have helped as well. So, what also helps, Stephen, is Junior gifted 5 memberships. Thank you, Junior, to Chris Lewis, to Bama Nomics. What a cool name. Daniel Gregory, Isaiah Washington, and Mark McConaughey. Ooh, you related to Matt. Welcome to
the family.
Yeah, thank you, Junior. He's happy about getting Billy Napier gone. And shout out David Chambers, gave us $20. Howdy, howdy. Ole Miss stuns the nation. 34-27 win over Georgia and proves we belong at the top of the SEC standings. Howdy, howdy. And yes, Cousin Mike, there is a Santa Claus. Call back to last episode, yeah. Stephen. All right, let's get into it, Stephen. Next, we got another game here. Of course, so many more to go to. Let's do Texas at Kentucky, Stephen. Texas favored, of course, on the bluegrass by 12.5 points. 42.5 is the over-under. This game kicks off at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central, nationally televised on ESPN. Who do you like in this one, Stephen?
Mike, I think the question that's out there coming into this game is, you know, coming off the Oklahoma game, can Texas get on a roll here because of what's at stake? Two losses. You don't really want to have a third to be in the playoff, even though I think 9-3 could be viable for some teams in the playoff. And I think I'm asking, has Texas turned a corner? You know, we saw some good things in that Oklahoma game with the way Arch Manning played, Trey Wisner getting some hard yardage. Defense played well too, getting Malik Muhammad back. All that was critical. So coming off that Oklahoma win, a lot of good signs. You go on the road to Kentucky, where Kentucky has been difficult at times. You think about the Ole Miss game earlier this season, Georgia before. This feels like it's like a style game here. Like Texas has an edge in talent. Can Kentucky make it ugly? Can they get a couple turnovers? Can they find a way to pull off an upset? Because on the matchup front, there's not a lot that Kentucky that favors Kentucky. You start with the defense of Texas. If they pick up where they left off last week, how is Kentucky going to move the ball? They are, you know, Texas is holding teams in SEC play to about 11 points a game. It's the Kentucky offense against the Texas defense might be one of the biggest mismatches of the weekend. I think is that crazy to say?
Not at all, Stephen. And I'm trying to think back to the last time Kentucky even won a game at home in the Southeastern Conference. They didn't do it last year. I'm going back to 2023. I assume Florida, September 30th, 2023. Shout out Billy Napier. So the last coach they beat was Billy Napier. It always goes back to Napier.
It all comes back to Billy here. I think the Texas defense against the Kentucky offense is just a massive mismatch. And if you just start kind of breaking this down, Mike, you know, Cutter Bowley is going to have a good game. You got to find a way to get Seth McGowan going. And it's just tough. You know, if the formula the Florida used was they were able to move the ball on the ground, set some shots up through the air. Do you trust Kentucky's receivers to win one-on-one all game? I think that's a tough ask. You know, on the other side, you know, Kentucky's defense, I think, could make life difficult at times, maybe for Texas here, especially up front. But they're not great at getting pressure, only 7 sacks this season. They've also had trouble against the run at times. So what I'm trying to get at is, no matter what way you kind of pick apart and analyze this matchup, it's hard to find a way that Kentucky wins this game unless Texas just shows up not very motivated, they sleepwalk, and they have a couple turnovers, which helps Kentucky stay in the game, and Kentucky can kind of possess the ball and play keep away. I think it's hard to ask. So I like Texas defense to dominate. I like Arch Manning to be solid on Saturday. I think Texas keeps it rolling 34-10.
34-10. Good night, Stephen. It ain't easy in the SEC on the road, unless you're at Vanderbilt, according to Nick Saban. But, yeah, I mean, I can't necessarily disagree. The path, though, you kind of said it there, turnovers. I think if Kentucky runs the football well, if they're a little bit rested, if they come out with some wrinkles that maybe Texas is unprepared for, Texas, maybe the emotional win, you know, maybe there's a little bit of there can be good hangovers and bad hangovers. I've never experienced a good hangover, but I'm told there are good hangovers you could experience, you know, accumulation of those things. If Texas can't run the football, Kentucky's got a good defensive front. It's about the only thing they got. But, you know, Arch has a meltdown. That's the path, I think, for Kentucky winning this one.
Also, you know, Texas has not played great on the road this year. I mean, Ohio State, you know, that was obviously the first game of the season. These teams are a lot different, but they didn't play well against Florida a couple weeks ago. Neutral mm-hmm. site against Oklahoma. So, you know, I think there's something to be said about the letdown coming off of the Oklahoma game. Maybe you go on the road or too, you know, high on the victory, and you think you look at Kentucky stats and you look at the win total and you go, oh, it's going to be an easy game. And then Kentucky kind of drags you into the deep end like they did Georgia, like they did Ole Miss before. And this is like 17-13 in the fourth quarter. And they're trying to have like a 6-minute drive where they've got like 20 plays and they're trying to move into position for a touchdown. Like, that's the formula, I think, for Kentucky. It's just that it's really hard to see. Even if Texas gets off to a slow start, I think they could pull away in the second half.
Mm-hmm. All right, Stephen, let's get into it. Now we're getting really into the tough matchups here. How about, speaking of Oklahoma, on the road, the Sooners are against South Carolina. Stephen, Oklahoma favored by 5.5 points. The over-under is 43.5 total points. This game kicks off at 12:45 Eastern time, 11:45 Central in the morning on the SEC Network, Stephen. What do you like in this one?
Coffee and the SEC, you bet. Sign me up. Mike, is it fair to say that this is maybe a must-win game for Oklahoma?
I thought you were going to say Carolina, but I think the truth is both.
Yeah, I think that's what's interesting about this game is, like, there's a sense of desperation here for both teams, because you look at that Oklahoma schedule coming up and it is brutal. This is probably one of your easier opponents, and it's not easy playing at South Carolina, a team that's dangerous. Also, South Carolina's lost 3 out of its last 4. If you want to salvage something out of the season, you've got to win on Saturday. So I like the desperation storyline here. I also like how these two teams are matched up, because the two quarterbacks, these two teams are so quarterback dependent. And I love seeing Sellers and Mateer on the same field. It's going to be awesome just for 60 minutes. But I think just in terms of this matchup, it's like the desperation factor, but also which supporting cast helps out their quarterback more, as simple as that sounds. Because I think when you look at South Carolina, that Oklahoma defensive front's going to be really difficult to move. They're probably going to get after Sellers. You also think about how South Carolina changed offensive line coaches this week. There's a sense of urgency to kind of figure this out, especially against this Oklahoma defensive front. But Mike, also wondering here too, like, how much rust can Mateer knock off now that he's got another full week of practice? Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest storylines going into the game.
And I think maybe the other kind of angle to this is, knowing that South Carolina is in the supporting cast question, is can they score on defense? Can they score on special teams? Maybe some Beamer ball. We saw this last year when these two teams played in Norman. Like, it was like 21-0, like, before, like, you know, 15 minutes in the game. So, you know, there's if South Carolina is going to win this game, Mike, I think they're going to need maybe like a block punt, a punt return, a defensive score. If Mateer is careless with the ball, again, this South Carolina team leads the SEC with 12 forced turnovers. So there has been, this defense has been very opportunistic in what we've seen on special teams. So fascinated by the quarterbacks, the battle up front, maybe a score on special teams or defense for South Carolina. To me, the tiebreaker is Oklahoma's defense. I think that's the most dominant group in this game. So I'm going to take Oklahoma in a low scoring game, 24-17. I think Mateer plays a little bit better, and that Oklahoma defense carries them.
Yeah, defense travels on the road. So that, you know, that is a smart pick, I think, for sure. But any consideration, you mentioned it there, South Carolina fires the offensive line coach. Now they shift Sean Elliott to that position. And again, it's, you know, does that need to happen at Oklahoma? Bill Beatonbow. He was a favorite on the power rankings last year, and hell, he probably should be this year. I know he's got a much stronger track record than the guy they dismissed at Carolina. But point being, Stephen, how much consideration, if at all, do you give to the fact that neither one of these teams is performing up front? I think that's 1,000% fair. I don't care what Bill Beatonbow did in the Big 12. They're 110th in the country. I have it. Rush offense efficiency. Carolina's 113. So we're talking just god-awful, both of them. Now, one of them made the adjustments this week. One of them is sticking with this, you know. So, and again, I'm not suggesting fire everybody and that'll fix everything. But maybe it does assist things in Carolina, whereas we get the same old at Oklahoma. how much of that could be a factor in this football game? Like, again, I'm not suggesting that Carolina's just going to run for 200 yards on arguably the best defensive front in the nation. But if they can manufacture, you know, a competent rushing attack with a new offensive line coach and some new ideas, while Oklahoma is still beating its head against the wall, could that be the difference in a game like this?
Yeah, I think it can help. If nothing else, a sort of fresh voice, a fresh, you know, something different. Like, it's not working, so change it. Try something different. You know, one positive maybe for South Carolina, they had 193 rushing yards last week. That's their highest of the season. Of course, they had the one big rushing play, so that kind of helped out. But, I mean, if you could get to 193 against LSU, you could get somewhere in that range against Oklahoma. Also, keeping in mind that Texas ran the ball, you know, with Wisner on a lot of, like, outside kind of to the edges pretty well in that game. So maybe there's, like, a path there. Like, if you change it, I know your personnel, it's hard to change personnel during the season, but maybe some new ideas, a fresh look at this offensive line could help. But so certainly don't want to dismiss that. I think just in the big picture, kind of what I'm thinking is give Oklahoma's defense the edge. And I kind of think Mateer is going to be a lot less rusty this week. Not saying he's going to go for 400 yards, but I think he'll play better this week too.
Right. And I think Dylan is way off the mark here with this comment. Every week analysts have to hope for a defensive special team touchdown for Carolina. That's good and well to say stuff like that, but maybe you've not watched the Gamecocks, because what won them Virginia Tech? A punt return touchdown. You know, this is kind of pathetic to say, but what won them South Carolina State? Multiple punt return touchdowns. What won them Kentucky? Kentucky was beating them, and they scored, I believe, was it three defensive touchdowns? Or I know they had four turnovers, Kentucky did, in just the second quarter alone, and multiple defensive. So, I mean, I think that's literally the difference in these games, to where that's what you need to the way the offense is playing. That has been critical to their success this season.
Mike, I think they've scored three defensive touchdowns this year. Lenora Sellers has four touchdown passes.
Right.
This season. So, you know, I don't think it's too crazy to suggest that just based upon what we've seen this year, knowing how much they've struggled offensively to get to like 20, 24 points, like in a game where the margins are really tight here, like it may take a defensive or special teams touchdown. And that's, I mean, if you can't score an offense, you got to find a way to manufacture it somewhere else. So to me, that's been a reason why South Carolina has been able to win or hang around in these games. And we should also say too, I think Lenora Sellers has played a lot better since, like, you know, kind of had that early kind of sluggish start. We saw against Missouri, he's hitting those big plays in the passing game. So, you know, maybe if you can just get enough up front, you know, I think Auburn showed this. I think Texas showed this. You can make some plays in the secondary against Oklahoma. So Sellers having time to throwing downfield. There are other paths for South Carolina to not have a score to win this game on special mm-hmm. teams or defense.
All right, Stephen, how about this one? Should be a fun one. We've already got one guy on here. Shout out Nick Roush, who they say is terrible. I don't say that, but they're saying it. He's predicted Arkansas to pull the outright upset over a top five Texas A&M, Stephen. A&M, of course, favored on the road by 7.5 points, the over-under, 61.5 total points. This is a 3:30 Eastern, 2:30 Central ESPN game. Stephen, how do you see this one breaking down?
Mike, I think the first thing that comes to mind is I don't think Nick's prediction is crazy, because we've seen this series. Like, how many weird and crazy moments happened between Texas A&M and Arkansas when it was in Arlington. This one being in Fayetteville, thank goodness. Games are much better on campus. I'm glad that they are in College Station and Fayetteville now. So, big picture, Bobby Petrino, if he wants the job, he's got to win this game, and he's got to find a way to get Arkansas to a bowl game. No question, Taylen Green and Petrino, the combo of those two, they're going to find ways to move the ball. Well, it's the same thing we talked about with Tennessee. Tennessee's defense is obviously much worse, but at home, motivation for Arkansas. Taylen Green is first in the country in total offense. This Texas A&M defense is 10th nationally in defensive success rate. So it is a great battle of a quarterback who is on fire against a defense that's played lights out. I think the battle for A&M is going to be, can you keep Taylen Green in the pocket and limit the plays off script? Because I have to go back and count, but it felt like several times last week that Tennessee couldn't get him sacked, and then he broke out and kind of made some kind of crazy, you know, rushy play, Mike, as you know, all too well while watching that game. So the matchup of Green versus Texas A&M defense is going to be top notch. Texas A&M has held their first three SEC opponents under 100 rushing yards each. And this will be a huge task, though, because the way Arkansas can run it in Taylen Green. So anything crazy there, Mike? You think that battle between Green and A&M's defense is kind of like one of the must watch of the weekend?
Yeah, for sure. Now, again, A&M's getting better on defense, but still, can they do it on the road? I mean, I think that's a fair question. I think that is something that is not being highlighted enough this week.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting part of the season, isn't it? It's like here we are in October, and it's the first road game in SEC play for Texas A&M. Now, they look good against Notre Dame getting the victory, but
not on defense, though.
Yeah, true. Fayetteville going to be very hostile, I'm sure, to Texas A&M. So, yeah, I think how this defense performs on the road after giving up 40 points to Notre Dame is a fair question. I think the other side of the ball is probably like one of the bigger mismatches in this game, because Arkansas is 124th nationally in success rate. They're giving up over 7 yards of play on defense. Here comes Texas A&M with Marcel Reed, this offensive line. I mean, it just feels like every time Arkansas is on defense, they are hanging on. They're hanging on for a turnover. They're hanging on for a missed pass, just trying to find a way to get off the field on third downs or in the red zone. So I think Arkansas probably needs a break or two to win this game. I just think Texas A&M edge on the offensive line of scrimmage against the Arkansas defensive front. I think they're better on defense. I think Arkansas, much like we've seen this year, outside of that Notre Dame game, it's going to be four quarters. It's going to be close. It's going to be a fight. I like Texas A&M 34, Arkansas 27.
Son of a... You know who likes that? Stephen the Aggie. Beat the hell out of Harley P. and his band of heathens. Hogs going to rush Green into two picks. And we already know they'll fumble a couple of times. 41-17, gig'em. What if Arkansas doesn't turn the ball over? If I could guarantee you that, Stephen, would you believe that the Hogs get it done?
I probably would still pick Texas A&M unless it's like -3 or -4 for A&M. But I do think the
three or four.
Yeah. I think because I think A&M is just, I think A&M could depend, I guess, depending on time possession, they're going to score frequently because of the way Arkansas plays defense. The game against Tennessee, though, and we saw this with Memphis and Ole Miss, Arkansas is going to move the ball, but they have stopped themselves too many times this year. So if they don't turn it over, I think you certainly give them better odds to pull off the upset, which is kind of one of the reasons why I like Arkansas to cover here, is I think at home, I certainly think they'll be motivated. I kind of trust Taylen Green to figure out a way to keep this one close. But I do worry that I've seen this story now a couple times this year, and it's like the mistakes will happen at some point. So it's kind of why I have a hard time in this breakdown of picking Arkansas.
Okay. No, I think that's fair. I just like to give you a hard time. All right. Shout out. How about this one, Steven? Speaking of hard time, hard times is what they got on the plains. Steven, as Mizzou travels to the plains. Auburn opened as a favorite. Missouri is currently the favorite by just 1.5 points, though. Over-under is 43.5 total points. This is a night game. The late game, 7:45 Eastern, 6:45 Central on the SEC Network. Who do you like in this one, Steven?
Mike, don't you think some of the noise that's also around Florida is also starting to build a little bit at Auburn this week?
Certainly seems likely, although the players are coming out here and saying, oh, we're one team, one heartbeat, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know. I don't know where this is at, but I certainly think it's a must win for both these teams, quite honestly.
Absolutely. And I should have said, like, when I say noise, I mean, you know, Auburn's lost a couple games in a row. They've also got Damari Alston leaving the team. It seems, you know, there's a lot of uneasiness, I think, at Auburn right now. And just looking at the schedule, I mean, you know, Alabama, Vanderbilt still coming up. You know, we talk about just getting to a bowl game should be the goal at this point. Well, if you lose this game and you've lost four, you know, SEC games and sit there at 3-4, it gets really hard, you know, to start charting a path to get that sixth victory. So huge game for both teams. Missouri's in the playoff hunt. You know, after that loss last week, if they go on the road and win, they're right back in it. They set up the Vanderbilt A&M game. So plenty at stake for both teams. Also think it is fascinating that the line shifted. You know, Auburn was the favorite, then Missouri. So I'm kind of with the spread movement here, Mike. Couple reasons why. I don't think Missouri was bad about getting Ahmad Hardy the ball last week. And Auburn's good on defense, but I suspect there's going to be a little bit of a, I don't want to say motivation. There's going to be a concerted effort to get the ground game going again this week. And on defense, I think certainly Cam Coleman, Eric Singleton, favorable matchup against Missouri secondary as we've seen. But will Auburn be able to pass protect? Because Damon Wilson created a lot of havoc last week against Alabama, and we know the problems Auburn has had this year in pass protection. Missouri's also number one in the SEC against the run. They haven't really played probably a ton of great rushing attacks, but still, I think this is a good defensive front. Do you trust Hugh Freeze and Jackson Arnold, or do you trust Eli Drinkwitz and Bo Prabula? I think that's the question here. Auburn's at home. They're tough to pick against. But Mike, Missouri's pass rush, Ahmad Hardy, get it done. I like the Missouri Tigers to beat the Auburn Tigers 24-20.
Ooh, but still a close game on the plains here. Any concern that this will be the first road game for Missouri in taking it on the taking the show on the road?
I think that's a fair concern, especially with this game at night. It's always hard to play here, but I think wouldn't you prefer like a 11:45 a.m. start time if your Missouri is kind of sleepy, maybe, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
So, I think that's a fair concern. Just going on the road for the first time, coming off a loss. How does Bo Prabula play on the road? How does he bounce back after a couple interceptions? I will say I was prepared to pick Auburn at the start of the week. Maybe I'm reading too much into the noise. I just had to go with Missouri. I just think that defensive front and rushing attack will find a way to get this done.
What happens if there's an officiating error? I mean, and it goes against Auburn. What will that place be like then?
I don't know if the stadium will be standing, will it? I mean, if there's an officiating error that goes against Auburn this week, shouldn't the entire stadium just walk down to the SEC office in Birmingham and demand like change for the officiating crew or something? Or maybe there's an officiating error in their favor this time. Maybe that's the way it goes, right?
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. How good of a matchup do we have here? Auburn defense against the Missouri offense, and particularly going up against Ahmad Hardy. Is Bo Prabula going to have to win this game like Alabama forced him to do and he was unable to do last week?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think Auburn is like second in the country in defensive success rate against the run. I mean, they've been really good. And, you know, Missouri's offensive line, I think, in pass protection is gettable. So if you think about, like, if you're Auburn, if you can stop the run, you get Prabula in long yardage situations, and we saw what happened last week, and you know, you got to hope Kevin Coleman's back to 100%. You get all your receiving core. You know, Mike, there are some definitely matchups here that make you think Auburn's got the spread's not very much. I think they got a good chance to win this game. They match up, both these teams are pretty evenly matched.
Now, what if it comes down to a field goal? Because both of them, Missouri's kicker's out, Auburn, you know, their kicker's well documented, been dealing with issues. He's back though, but if it comes down to a field goal, which team do you have more confidence to hit it?
Man, that's a good question.
Based on your score, it certainly could, right?
Yeah, it could. I mean, I had it 24-20. I could see like 20-17. I don't know. I'm at Auburn at home. I think their special teams kicking could get it done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'd want to rely on my kicker from either team here. So is that fair?
But that's dangerous. That's a dangerous spot to be in. But
yeah.
I think that is fair. What is it like an over under on Ahmad Hardy rushing yards? For you to feel confident Missouri wins, he's got to hit this many. If you're confident Auburn wins, it's because they limited him to this. Does that make sense?
Yeah. This is probably basic, but it's almost like, don't you want him to get to 100 this week? 52 last week, and he still averaged over 4 yards a carry. But it seems like if Missouri wins this game, he's got to get to over 100, I think. Is that fair?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then last thing I've got, last week got out to a 10-0 lead, should have been 17 if you ask me, but still found a way to lose. If Missouri, well, you know, two ways to look at this. If confidence that Auburn wins, maybe that's the best way to ask it. Confidence Auburn wins if Missouri jumps out to a lead. Confidence Missouri can come back if Auburn jumps out to a lead like they did against Georgia.
I think if Auburn falls behind, I would have a lot less confidence than I would be if Missouri is trying to come back. Is that fair? I guess what I would say is I worry about, you know, when we've seen this Auburn team, like, I mean, Hugh Freeze said, like, they find ways to not win football games. I worry about that, like, you fall behind, it's like, oh no, everything's going wrong again, and they can't get back into it. Whereas I do think if Missouri falls behind, I think I like their chances to try and mount some sort of comeback, right?
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. I think that's very fair. I also think it's fair, Stephen, to ask you, who's going to win LSU at Vanderbilt, buddy? Whoa, what a game we got here. And buddy. Number 10, LSU underdogs to Vanderbilt, number 17 Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, a 2.5-point favorite at home. Over under 48.5 points. Noon Eastern, 11 Central, nationally televised. Steven, did ABC not have any options? Vanderbilt's nationally televised. What's going on? No, it's because Vanderbilt's a damn fine football team this year. Steven, who do you got winning this one?
This is one of the harder predictions of the week, Mike. You know, I mentioned this earlier. I'm going to be very interested to see what you and Shane pick later this week, because I think about the stakes for this game. It's a chance for Vanderbilt to rebound, to get back in the playoff race. 2 weeks to prepare, regroup from Alabama. Great timing for Vanderbilt to be hosting this game. For LSU, you start looking at the upcoming stretch. You know, this game against Vanderbilt, Texas A&M, Alabama. Feels like this is a playoff kind of deciding stretch here for this team. I think in the big picture, I think points are going to be at a premium. I don't think we're going to see much scoring. That's kind of the theme. You know, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Missouri, Auburn. Feels like points are going to be at a premium across the SEC this weekend. The two big storylines I think we need to watch for. Number one, is LSU's offense capable of building on last week? And when I say building on last week, I mean, like, is Garrett Nussmeier going to take a step forward? You know, I thought there were some good signs. We've seen Vanderbilt be vulnerable to the pass. Tre'Davious Green, you know, Kyle Parker stepping up, but Aaron Anderson's back this week. That's a lot of weapons for Vanderbilt to account for. So I'm wondering, is Nussmeier getting closer to 100%? I think on the other side of the ball, Vanderbilt's offense against LSU's defense is basically good on good. Vanderbilt is one of the top offenses in the country in offensive success rates. LSU has allowed 20 points, just more than 20 points, just one time this year. And of course, that was to Ole Miss. So this is a really difficult matchup for Vanderbilt. The Tim Beck, Blake Baker coordinator battle is going to be awesome. Can Pavia find throwing lanes against a very good LSU secondary? The one thing I keep coming back to as well is Vanderbilt made some uncharacteristic mistakes against Alabama. with those two red zone turnovers. If that happens again, they will not win this game. So I think Vanderbilt's got to get back to playing clean football, and especially on offense where you're going up against this good LSU defense. This one feels very close and not surprising given the spread to me.
This is my favorite statistic of the week, Stephen. Apologies. I don't think I've hit you with this. I've hit everybody else here with it. Do you know the last time Vanderbilt was favored over LSU?
Man, it's got to be like ages ago, right?
Oh, yeah. 1948.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's pretty wild. And then how about this? Here's one I think you'll really like. You know how many games in a row Vanderbilt has been an underdog in conference games? So just SEC games. They have a streak of being an underdog that is about to be snapped here against LSU. But do you have any idea how many games in a row in the conference Vanderbilt's been an underdog?
It's probably got to be over 10 at least, right? Is it closer to 20?
51.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Shout out Derek Mason. You
know? I figured there was like a game against Kentucky in there. They were favored, you know? But, wow.
That just shows you how far this program has come. And, again, this ain't 3-8 Kentucky they're favored over. This is top 10 LSU.
With playoff implications for both teams, right? I mean, that's the thing. It's like it's crazy how far this program has come in a very short amount of time under Clark Lee. I mean, the coaching job, I don't think he's still getting enough credit. They're sitting here ranked playoff contender, getting LSU at home, and they're favored. Like, it's almost like it boggles the mind considering where they were, I guess, pre-Diego Pavia for Vanderbilt. So huge opportunity, needless to say, for Vanderbilt on Saturday.
Right. So no more procrastinating, Stephen. Who's winning?
Should have brought a coin because I don't feel good side of this. But you know what, Mike? I took Nussmeier in the prize picks to go more than. If I think he's going to be closer to 100%, I had to go with LSU. So I'm going to go LSU in a close one, 23-20.
How much heat is he going to face, though, if he drops this one?
I mean, I think it could spiral a bit for LSU, don't you think? Because you get A&M, you get Alabama, you still have to play Oklahoma. To be 5-2 after the offseason acquisitions, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not as disappointing as Penn State or Clemson, but that would be up there, wouldn't it?
No doubt. And now let me ask you this. Would Diego Pavia reinsert himself into the Heisman discussion if Vanderbilt finds a way and he has a good game, of course?
Yeah, absolutely. Mike, I think one of the underrated storylines, and we're sitting here at the midseason, the Heisman race is wide freaking open. There is not a consensus favorite at this point. Ty Simpson is certainly working his way up the board. Some other quarterbacks, Fernando Mendoza at Indiana. But I think if you're Pavia, you beat LSU and you could beat Missouri. You set up a huge showdown against Texas, and then you get Auburn, Kentucky, and Tennessee. That's a pretty favorable stretch to sort of pad your Heisman resume at times later in the season. So if they could win these next two, yeah, I think Pavia should absolutely be in that discussion.
Well, who should also be in the Heisman discussion is perhaps these two quarterbacks, Stephen. Alabama hosting Tennessee in the third Saturday in October. Number 6, Bama. Number 11, Tennessee. Bama, of course, red hot, favored by 7.5 points. The over-under is 58.5 total points. The night game on ABC, 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central. The world will be watching, Stephen. Who do you like winning the game?
Third Saturday in October, Mike. I know it's a cliche. It doesn't get much better than this. Just seeing those two helmets line up. The recent series, you know, Tennessee's had better luck. They haven't won in Tuscaloosa in a while. And thinking about the playoff hopes here for both teams, you know, Tennessee could use kind of a marquee victory like this to sort of entrench itself in that playoff mix. For Alabama, it's another, like, top show down here. Like every week has been an elimination week. You know, you beat Georgia, you beat Vanderbilt, you go on the road against Missouri. I don't think the tank's empty, but you do wonder, you know, they've expended a lot of energy the last couple weeks. And oh, by the way, they got to go play South Carolina next Saturday. I think Alabama's playing like they are the best team in the SEC. We'll see what happens this Saturday with this game and, of course, what happens in Athens. But Alabama could be the best team in the SEC. Couple matchups that have my attention. The first one is Ty Simpson versus Tennessee's defense. Can Alabama's offensive line protect Ty Simpson from this Tennessee front? Because Alabama is 13th in the SEC in sacks allowed. Tennessee's defensive front is one of the better ones at getting pressure in the conference. If Tennessee does not get pressure on Ty Simpson, I think he will pick apart the secondary. So it's almost important for Tennessee to win the game up front, slow down Ty Simpson. Also, a little bit of an X factor here. I do think that Jam Miller, his status is pretty important because when he's gotten, since he's returned, they've been a little bit better running the ball. Also, think his blocking, pass catching, I think he's a pretty valuable presence in the backfield. So his status is ultra critical on Saturday. I think the other side of this, Mike, is the Tennessee offense against the Alabama defense. Because all the focus certainly is going to be on Aguilar and Brazel and Matthews and seeing what they did to Georgia. I think Alabama's secondary is pretty darn good, and we've seen that play out this year. But the other side of that is Alabama is vulnerable on the ground. They gave up 6.8 yards per carry to Georgia, 7.1 to Vanderbilt, and nearly 6 to Missouri. They're 13th in the SEC against the run. Can Tennessee get its ground game going? You know, for all of the battle of Simpson and the pass rush, it's almost like if you're Tennessee, can you dominate the style and not let Simpson and this offense get out in front? Like if you can run the ball, maybe you play a little bit of games with the tempo so that way it doesn't get into the 30s and 40s. So I think there are some things that Tennessee can do here. Line of scrimmage for all the quarterbacks. You know, we talked about how does Tennessee run the ball? How does Alabama protect Ty Simpson? That's actually the keys to the game for me.
Which Heupel shows up, though? Low T or the high T?
I think if you're Tennessee, you want to see a little bit more aggressiveness here on the road. Don't you think if you're Heupel in Tennessee, there's something to lose here?
Oh, yeah. And I'm nervous that, you know, if Tennessee can't force a turnover or multiple on defense, I don't know that they got much of a shot in a game like this. And Ty Simpson has been very careful with the football. So that is certainly a concern. I think Alabama's at a major, major advantage with their receivers against Tennessee defensive backs. So I don't know. I don't know. I think, but I do think Bama's defense, I think they're overrated because I think we're still thinking of the Saban days. Not saying they're awful, but they're far from elite. So I think there's opportunities. I think Tennessee's receivers perhaps were an advantage over Bama's, even though Bama's got a good secondary. So I know I see advantages for both, but this is a tricky, tricky game for Tennessee, I think.
I think, you know, going back to the question about like which version of Tennessee is like Heupel going to be here. Like, I know Tennessee's the underdog. There is something to lose for Tennessee because if you lose, it's like the second loss and like it matters for SEC playoff. But I mean, you're going on the road to play a red hot Alabama team. I mean, I don't think I'd bring the cautious nature of Josh Heupel down here. I would bring, you know, full arsenal, prepare to win this game. Because if you win this one, it really opens up. This is by far the toughest remaining game on Tennessee's schedule. And this is a game where points, it's going to be the opposite of Oklahoma and South Carolina, is that you're probably going to see some offense in this game. So I would not be surprised to see both offenses move this ball up and down the field. And to your point, I do think Alabama's defense is not as dominant as we're used to seeing under Nick Saban. But I do like this secondary. And I think when you compare the Georgia game and the Alabama game that we're about to see, I don't think that Alabama will give up the multiple deep bombs here. They'll give up some plays, but I don't think they'll get torched like Georgia did that day.
What percentage, and I don't even know if you can really put a percentage on this, but the odds maybe that the winner of this game, Tennessee at Alabama, the winner goes to the playoff. How likely do you think that is?
Mike, I think if Tennessee wins this game, you really have to increase their playoff odds. I know they still have to play Oklahoma, Vanderbilt, and they go on the road to Florida. Who knows what Florida looks like by then? But that is their most difficult remaining game, right?
Oh, yeah, I think by far.
I think if Tennessee wins this game, I think they're getting to 10-2, and I think they're making the playoff. So I think that's kind of like where the odds go. I think it goes from, you know, Tennessee's on the bubble to being on the right side of it. I think if you're Alabama and you win this game, I mean, I look at their schedule and say they could win all those, but I also think they're probably going to stumble at least one more time somewhere. So, you know, it's hard to put a percentage on it, but I think Alabama just continues to solidify itself in my mind as being a safe playoff team if they win this game.
Mm-hmm. All right, so no more procrastinating, Steven. Who do you got winning?
Tennessee to cover, Alabama to win. Alabama 34-27. Ty Simpson does it again.
Okay. If I didn't think that was fair, I'd say you're banned from the show. All right, hey, college game day, game of the week here, potentially in the country, Steven. Undefeated Ole Miss at Georgia. Number 5, Ole Miss. Number 9, Georgia. Georgia favored, though, by 7.5 points at home. The over-under is 54.5. This is a 3:30 Eastern, 2:30 Central on ABC. What do you like here, Steven?
Man, this one's fascinating, isn't it? You know, you think about the Ole Miss game last week against Washington State, and I'm almost just throwing that game out the window just because I think Ole Miss spent most of that time probably preparing for Georgia. On the Georgia side of things, I think we're starting to see this team sort of round into form. Certainly, they're flawed like every SEC team is, but every week that goes on, I think some of that young talent is growing up. So you've got a fascinating kind of contrast going on here is that Ole Miss has already picked off LSU. They're sitting pretty in the SEC standings right now. It's important for playoff positioning. Because if Ole Miss wins this game, Oklahoma, that's going to be tough. And certainly Mississippi State on the road at the end of the year. But South Carolina, Citadel, Florida, I mean, they're going to be right there already in that range to get to 10-2 that they need to be in the playoff. So major implications for the end of the season. One factor that I this is kind of a small thing, Mike. But if I'm Georgia, I don't know that I could get off to another slow start and expect to win. Is that fair?
Yeah, they've been struggling all year with these slow starts.
I mean, it's one thing to do that against an Auburn offense that has had its issues. But if you get behind 17-0 to Ole Miss, they can come back. I just think it's going to be a lot tougher. Because if Ole Miss is moving the ball with that much success on offense, I think it's going to be a little bit harder than Auburn. So if I'm Georgia, I got to get off to a quicker start this week. Some battles that have my attention. I think number one, Georgia's offensive line. It's been banged up. They got a lot of injuries, guys in and out of the lineup. Are they healthier this week? And can they run the ball? Ole Miss is 14th in the SEC against the run. To me, that's the whole thing here for Georgia, because if the ground game gets going, Stockton's efficiency, he's making some plays on the ground. Ole Miss isn't touching the ball that much, and they're playing Georgia style. They're playing kind of a slower, deliberate game. And then on defense, you can turn your pass rush loosely, of course, because Georgia's not really getting that much pressure this year. But this is good on good when Ole Miss has the ball. Georgia's defense against this Ole Miss offense. Big question, is Trinidad Chambliss able to shake off last week? You know, Lane Kiffin wasn't very happy, it seemed like, after the game and through the week, talking about, you know, D2 stuff showing up out there. It's important for him to build some confidence early on. It's a tough place to play. Road start. Little bit different than playing at home against LSU. We saw this Ole Miss offense get off to a slow start against LSU, but they figured it out. Think it's going to be harder here if they don't get going early and build some confidence. I also think Kiwon Lacy, to me, is really important in this game. Georgia's stingy on the ground, but I don't think you want to put everything on Chambliss in the passing game to win. I think you want to have some balance here. You want to have Lacy getting some yardage, kind of ease Chambliss into the game, because it is such a tough place to play and it's a road start, you know, since they've been at home so much. So I think there's a lot of interesting X's and O's here. Mike, is there a matchup that stands out to you so far?
To me, it's I think this could be the best matchup of coaches, coordinators in the SEC. I know Mike Bobo catches so much hell. All they do is produce. Oh, another spider. You weren't here for the last one. Sorry, there's just like a dangling spider in here. Might want to check on that at some point. But Mike Bobo, Pete Golding. I mean, that's an elite matchup. Lane Kiffin, Charlie Weiss up against Kirby Smart and Glenn Schumann. I mean, to me, that is, I mean, it doesn't get much better than that when we're talking about coaching matchup.
Oh, absolutely. I can't wait till later this afternoon when you don't show up for the afternoon show and you're web slinging around the city there with after your spider bites you.
I grabbed it. Oh, God, it's getting close. It was just a baby one. All right. That's creepy. All right. Sorry.
So Peter Parker, I wonder who he would pick. But Mike, I think you're right. No, great coordinator matchups. You know, if Georgia wins this game, you know, starting to think about Atlanta and the SEC championship, maybe a rematch with Alabama potentially. So revenge as well. I mean, the fact that Ole Miss won this game convincingly last year, Georgia's got revenge, the playoff implications, the coordinator battles. I mean, kind of a good like litmus test too for the two quarterbacks. I mean, Chambliss is a little bit under pressure. Stockton can win another game, builds a lot of confidence for Georgia. So I think Ole Miss is covers, but I like Georgia to win. Give me the Dogs 27, Ole Miss 24.
I'm sensing a theme with you, Stephen. You're very risk averse here. I think you got the favorites winning every freaking game here.
LSU.
Okay. All right. No, you were on one risk. I appreciate you. We appreciate you, David Chambers, for $20. Ole Miss scores early and often, becomes a ball game. Ribs hang on to win. 34-27. I could see that. I could see that.
What's your confidence level in Ole Miss just outright winning this game?
I think it's fairly high because I think Georgia is beatable.
Yeah.
I mean, we can make the case that should have lost to Tennessee, should have lost to Auburn. Maybe not should have, but easily could have. Both of those, and you could switch it around and say, well, they easily convert a fourth and short. You know, they're undefeated. So I'm not saying they're bad, but they're beatable. And the defense is not elite anymore. I think that's fair to say.
Since we're in October, it's only fair. They're the new Michael Myers of the SEC, right?
I think that's fair, too.
Yeah, I think this team just might... That just might just be who this Georgia team is. You know, they're going to run the ball. They're going to play good defense. You know, Stockton's been efficient, doing what they need to do to win. It's like they're going to be on the margins pretty close this year on the scoreboard, like in some of these games. I do think getting off to a faster start is pretty important. And as simple as that sounds, I think if you're Ole Miss and you go in and you score right away, you take the crowd out of it, you get Georgia uncomfortable. I mean, immediately you have to feel good if you're Ole Miss. Whereas I think if Ole Miss gets off the field, three and out, Georgia gets the run game going. They play that kind of game. I think it's going to be hard for Ole Miss to win here. But I was surprised at 7.5. I mean, maybe somebody in Vegas knows something that I don't. I feel good about Ole Miss getting the cover. Georgia's gettable, but I like them at home here.
What if – is it possible, though, that Ole Miss gets exposed? Kentucky game was closer probably than it should have been. Arkansas was – I mean, if not for a fumble, I think Arkansas wins it. We could kind of what if every game, though. LSU, I don't have a ton of respect for. And hell, they could have lost to Washington State. I mean, is there a chance Ole Miss – we sit here on Sunday, we're like, what the hell are we thinking? Ole Miss is a good team, but to go into Athens, ain't Bama. Bama's the only one that can do that. You know what I mean? Is there a possibility that we're sitting here on Sunday and say, man, Ole Miss, again, got exposed. And when I say exposed, I just mean like maybe not a top five team.
So four of those six victories have been by one score this year. I will say I think the margins in college football between like 1 and 15 are a lot smaller this year than we've seen in previous years. So I think that might just be a byproduct of a lot of even beyond 15. I mean, 2025, it's really close. Ohio State might be the most dominant team, but Indiana and Miami are close behind that. Then you get a cluster of teams. So
right.
I'm not sure what to read into those one score games, but I do think you raise a good point. You know, if you need a fumble to beat Arkansas, you know, and you catch Garrett Nussmeier when he's, you know, whatever percentage, and Washington State, certainly not even anywhere close to some of those teams. Yeah, that it's a little concerning, but at the same time, I'm sitting here saying, you know, the gaps between some of these teams aren't very wide. So I don't know that I'm necessarily concerned as more of just about finding ways to win close games when everybody's clustered together. So yeah. To answer your question, if they got blown out, I'd be surprised. I don't know that they're necessarily the number five team in the country. I think they're probably closer to somewhere in the top 10, though.
All right, Steven. So you've made all your predictions. Do you have a John Mateer lock of the week?
I am taking Texas for my John Mateer lock of the week.
Well, that should be against the law. You can't do a John Mateer Texas, but I'll allow it.
He helped give them the game last week, so I thought it was only appropriate to take Texas this week.
All right, so obviously you're most confident in Texas, which is completely fair given what we know about Kentucky. Which game of your predictions? Again, Steven's like he picks Georgia to win, Bama to win, LSU to win, Mizzou to win, A&M to win, Oklahoma to win. Which one of these are you least confident in?
Least confident is LSU and Vanderbilt, and probably just behind that would be Ole Miss and Georgia.
Okay. I mean, remember that part. No one remembers that part. If Steven gets it wrong, he's like, I'm not very confident. They're like, Steven hated us. He will never pick us. What has he got against Clark Lee and Lane Kiffin? Why do you hate them? Why have you hated them your whole life? And using all your powers to destroy them. That's what they're going to hear, Steven.
I can see that. I can see the power rankings for next week could be Nick Roush, Chris Marler, and like Steven's like somewhere down here in the bottom.
All right. Well, hey, Steven, we're about to hit 90 minutes. So I know you're a busy man. You got stuff to do. Anything else before we hop off the line here?
Man, just hoping for a great week of games, and can't wait to see what happens on Sunday, and can't wait to join you on Monday and break all this down.
Absolutely. Well, before you go, Steven, please remind the cousins, how can they follow you? How can they find your work?
You can read all my work at AthlonSports.com. You can follow me on Twitter at AthlonSteven and StevenLCFB over on Facebook and Instagram.
All right, Steven, enjoy the rest of your evening. Thank you so much for dropping so much knowledge and making these predictions. Can't wait to catch up again. And who knows the chaos that will ensue this weekend. So stay locked in. Shane and I will be back tonight for the mailbag, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central. And stay locked in on the channel because we got multiple interviews. Right now I got 3 interviews scheduled. First one should be dropping tomorrow morning. So we appreciate all the support. Like, subscribe, share. It doesn't cost you a thing and really helps the show grow. But until then, we'll catch you on the next one.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.